Let us pray. Lord, we'd never be able to thank you enough or respond enough for your gracious provision. For as owner and supplier and creator of all things, you give us all of that, and you ask us simply to manage it in your kingdom. And so this morning, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us to be godly managers and to be thankful for that which you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to bring to a close the three-part series on guidelines for godly managing. And in this last part of the of this series, we want to take a look at how Paul addresses the idea and the fact of the treasure and how Jesus addresses it in his Sermon on the Mount. The word treasure has a lot of different meanings to it. In fact, on the front of your bulletins this morning, you have a treasure chest. Often that's kind of one of the images that comes to mind. But we could also just as easily use that word to refer to someone that we love or care for very dearly. And we can say, oh, you are such a treasure. Or sometimes it's like this. We have this sense of a treasure map. There's got to be something out there, and there have been, over the years, people who are still searching for those elusive treasure maps where X marks the spot. And then if we only find where X is, then we'll have it all. Sometimes we think of treasure as maybe instead of a person, we may think of it actually as a thing. We have a treasured possession, something that we would never, ever, ever, ever give up. In fact, this last week when Stephen Ministry training was going on and we hit this subject that no one really likes to talk about, but it's one that needs to be covered, and that is dealing with individuals who may be suicidal, one of those telltale signs is that they begin to give away those treasured possessions. So there's a lot of ways in which we can look at the term treasure. But in Paul's letter to the Philippians and in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he has one thing in mind. And that's the kingdom of God. And in a really kind of hokey way, if you want to think of this as the kingdom of God, in Paul's letter and in Jesus' comments, he kind of gives us the path, the steps by which we then arrive at the kingdom of God. Or at least know what the kingdom of God is like and how that is such a treasure in our lives. Because as we finish this series on godly managing, one of the things that we need to be aware of is, what is the real treasure? Is it all this stuff over here, or is it life within the kingdom of God? And what does that look like? Well, Paul, in his section, in his letter to the Philippians, starts out, or in the middle of chapter 4 there, starts out with one of those ways of knowing what the kingdom of God is all about and how do we get into that kingdom of God and what's life like in the kingdom of God has to do with the right frame of mind. This passage, I've always loved this passage because it really talks to us about what do we put up here? How do we live? How do we act? It's just a marvelous listing. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Life in the kingdom of God means filling our minds with those things that are healthy from God's perspective. Those things that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy, that are notable. And yet all too often Satan would like to fill our minds with crud. I'll just say crud. You fill in what comes after crud. But that's what he would like us to be thinking about and to be concerned about and to be worried about and to be anxious about. Jesus in the gospel lesson says, don't be anxious, don't be worried about this and this and this and this, all this other stuff. The marvelous passage there where Jesus says, God knows that you need those things. God's not blind to what our needs are. But he says, instead, think about these things and trust that God's going to provide everything else. Because he says he will. And so that first step is keeping our minds on what is really healthy spiritually. What's really healthy and what really God has given us. And as we search the scriptures, there we find out exactly what it is. So godly management and life within the kingdom of God as we seek that treasure of continuing to live, and as we celebrate the treasure, not just seek it, but celebrate that treasure, starts with having a proper mind, proper attitude. But then second of all, Paul says, you got to learn the secret. Now, it's not a top secret. There is nothing that has been locked away someplace and that you need a special password or a special code. You know, how many of you have ever forgotten your password? And so every once in a while we say, okay, I'm going to have the same password for everything. Then people say, no, don't do that, don't do that. You just can't do it. There is no secret that as we live within the kingdom of God, as we celebrate that treasure that he has given us, as he asks us now to manage it for the furthering of the kingdom, he says you got to, first of all, learn this secret. And Paul talks about it twice in verses 11 and verse 13. He says, first of all, I've learned the secret to be content. These are actually combined, but he mentions it twice. He says, I've learned the secret to be content. Whether I have everything and more than I could ever imagine, he says, I'm content. Or whether I have nothing, whether I'm in need or I have abundance, he says, I've learned the secret to be content. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Now we might look at that and we might say, oh yeah, you know, if I've got nothing, it's going to take strength to get me through this. It's just as bad on the other side of the aisle. If I've got everything, I need strength to know how to deal with that. And Paul says, I've learned what that is. To be content, to live within God's kingdom, and to say, God, in your kingdom, whether I have nothing, and I'm not just saying you all have nothing, okay? Or whether you have everything, and I'm not saying you have everything, but I've learned to be content and know that my life does not revolve around the stuff, whether lots of it or very little of it. But my life revolves around Jesus Christ. Just as we looked at last week, in this series, the godly managing, the guideline that says follow the Jesus example. And so as we live within this kingdom, as we manage what God has given us, we do so focusing on Jesus, but also being aware that it is in Him that we have the strength to do what He asks us to do. Learn the secret, Paul says. But then also, in this kingdom of God, and in celebrating this treasure, realize that it doesn't belong to me. And it's not just about me, but that in fact, it involves all of us. Paul will talk about his partnership with the Philippians and commend them and say, "Oh, I'm so grateful that you revived your interest in me, but you know, you really didn't need to, because God would supply all that I need." These pictures are of the recent floods in Houston. And you can tell which two out of the three pictures are actually pictures from various churches. Obviously, this one is not. But the other two are that churches set up themselves as clearinghouses for the needs of those things which people had, they had lost everything, and so now they need the basics. And because they hadn't lost everything, now they could provide for those who do, who did. That's partnership. It's what all of us are here about. God has brought all of us into His kingdom, and He's given all of us special gifts and abilities and talents, and He says, "Now I want you to use them all together." It's a very precious type of unity that He talks about and mentions in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. But here He says, "I want to thank you, Philippians, for your partnership." Now, one of the most interesting things about this section, that it kind of escapes us unless we put all three of these guidelines for godly managing together, because we looked at 2 Corinthians 8 and we looked at 2 Corinthians 9, and there Paul talks about the Macedonians and how in their poverty they gave themselves first to the Lord and then they gave to the offering for the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Well, who were the Macedonians? And we have the answer in Philippians chapter 4. It's the Philippians. It's them and others. But Philippi is up in the northern part of Greece, what was at that point Macedonia. And so He's saying to them, "I'm thankful for your partnership in the gospel. Your partnership in that when you were poor, you gave for others. That the kingdom of God might expand. Because it didn't just depend upon Paul or Barnabas or Silas or the Christians in Jerusalem or the Christians in Ephesus, or the Christians in Thessalonica, or eventually the Christians in Rome. It was a partnership. And so for you and I, our life in the kingdom of God, our celebrating of this treasure that He's given us, involves not just a focus on the individual, on you, on me, but it's the partnership that God has created for us. And then finally, He reminds them, after all, it's God that supplies all of the needs. At the very end, verses 19 and 20, He talks about the fact that God supplies all of our needs, whatever it might be. That in following Him in life within that kingdom, this is where we focus. That it's not about us. It's about Him. And at the end of that, then where does the glory and the praise go? Over these last 3 weeks, we have looked at these guidelines for godly giving, for godly management. One had to do with ownership. God's the creator, the owner, the maker, the distributor of all things. And in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul said, God wants us to manage with a cheerful heart, not out of compulsion, or not out of fear, or not out of anger, not out of resentment. But God loves, as Paul would say, a cheerful giver. I slashed that out and said manager. But either one is good. Second of all, though, in this series, we've taken a look at how the prime example, the example extraordinaire, is Jesus. And that as we look at how we manage what God has already given us, we look to the example of Jesus, who there was one primary, underlying, foundational principle that Jesus used in all that he did, and that's the example that we follow. And Paul said, it's because of his love. Not the type of love that we often think about and that we see that word used all over the place, but it's a very special, the word that's used there is that very special sacrificial, self-sacrificing love, agape. It's used a number of times in the scriptures, but it's always very pointed and very specific that it means giving up of one's own self, one's own desires, and instead following Jesus as he gave up himself and died on the cross that you and I might have life eternal and forgiveness and faith. So in godly managing of the resources that God has given us, what is the underlying foundation for us? Is it a thing? Is it a person? Or is it the love of Jesus Christ that was given to us and then now shines through us to others? And then finally, today, it's realizing what the real treasure is. It's not anything that we have. It's what God gives to us. There was a reason. I'm going to be very honest with you. There was a reason this series showed up when it did. Because we have a challenge before us this afternoon in our congregational spending guide in our budget. And as we, within the stewardship team, talked about that, we realized that all of us, starting with myself and starting with the stewardship team, realized that maybe we needed some reminders on what godly managing is all about. Because God's giving us marvelous opportunities and challenges. And I have every confidence that God will see us through all of this. Even when on the surface we may look at it and we say, how could this ever be? We can't do this. You're right. We can't do it at all. God does. God's the one who will bring all of this about. Whether it be a sanctuary, whether it be expanding ministry and mission throughout this community, as we enter soon our 100th anniversary year, and we go on for another 100 years unless God comes again, unless Jesus comes again, he's going to do it. He's going to use all of us. And Paul had a real exciting way of ending this little comment, this little section, to the Philippians. In fact, it's how he really ends his letter. at the verses 21 through 23 is just kind of the add-on to it. But he ends it this way, which is how I'm going to end. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence in our life and for the abundance, for the treasure that you have given to each of us. And now, Lord, as we seek to live and to work within your kingdom, may you join us all together in that wonderful partnership. Having gifted all of us, may we be godly managers of what you have given to us, the resources that you give us, that we might truly extend your kingdom, that you through us would extend that kingdom and that treasure to all those who are still seeking, to those who are still lost. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.